Thank you, Ron. Turn in your Bibles to John's Gospel, chapter 6, please. The 6th chapter of John. Tonight, we want to speak upon this subject. The disciples that said goodbye to Jesus are the last goodbye of many disciples to Jesus Christ. The last goodbye. In the first few verses of this chapter, we see Jesus feeding the 5,000. And then we see another tremendous scene. He walketh on the sea to his disciples. He declares himself to be the bread of life. He does all of this. He does all of this. He does all of this. And then it happened. Let's bow our hearts. Father, we thank you for every precious person here tonight. How we thank thee that you love us all equally. How we thank thee that your death is all-inclusive. And how we praise you tonight for the privilege we have in the few hours left in human history. So we thank you, and our eyes are upon you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. This is the scene. A great multitude followed him in verse 2, because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. The Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread, that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for himself knew what he would do. Jesus answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. But one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down. In number, about 5,000. Now notice what he said. He said, make the men sit down. Let's look at that again. Verse 10. Now I can't understand that tonight, because it should be ladies first. But Jesus said, make the men sit down. Make them. A little lad, a need, and make the men sit down. Do you get the picture? That a little child had, childlike faith, but make the men sit down, while I take that a little child has, and feed the hungry multitude. The only way tonight that God can move is when he makes men sit down. And instead of using men's strength tonight, he wants to use the faith of a little child or a lad. But in order to use the faith of a child, he's got to make the men sit down. The only way Jesus can meet the needs of multitudes is to make men sit down. He can't do it with their help. They've got to sit down. They would have had 25 committee meetings how to handle that food shortage. And all they had to do was sit down and let Jesus handle it by what he could use from a little lad. Now, what does it teach you? That if I come to Jesus Christ with a childlike faith, Luke 18:17, and if I come to Jesus Christ as a little child, and bring my childlike faith to Jesus, that's all Jesus needs to meet every emergency. Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down. I don't see anything tonight about the disciples given to anyone else, but he only had the disciples give to those that were seated. He isn't going to waste his food upon somebody that isn't seated, because it wouldn't do him any good. The Lord Jesus Christ tonight is teaching this great lesson, that he can meet every emergency. He can use anything that's given to him in childlike faith and meet every emergency if I'll sit down in heavenly places and just receive what he does with childlike faith. Then he'll meet the need of every emergency. How many are understanding? It tells me something else tonight. I'm not to try to break the bread of God tonight and give it to people who are emotionally disturbed. Let me explain. I'm not to, over and over again, try to feed mentally disturbed people. I'm to love them. I'm to pray for them that they'll sit down. And I'm not to spend hours tonight trying to rationalize some new formula, some new religious way, and some new method to give them victory. There's one that gives them victory, and that's Christ. There's one way they can get victory, by sitting down, obeying Jesus Christ. Listen, he died, he took us with him, he was buried, he rose again, he went to heaven, and he sit us down. Ephesians 2:6. And we're seated together in heavenly places in Christ. Give it back to me. We're seated together in heavenly places in Christ. Now, when I'm in that position and then come to God in the emergency with a childlike faith, and I begin to receive, well, wait a minute tonight, where am I sitting? I'm sitting in heaven. Where is it? It's above the powers of the devil. It's above thrones, mights, dominions. I'm seated above, Ephesians 1:21-2. I'm seated above, and there I am seated. Now, he said, I've finished the work. I'm God Almighty, and now with childlike faith, I'll give you what you need in the emergency, but you've got to sit down. And when you do, I'll feed you, but until you do, I'm sorry. Have you ever wondered why you haven't got blessed? You're not seated yet, experientially by faith. Have you ever wondered why you went around in a turmoil and constantly and consistently and continually found your mind to be an emotional havoc and you weren't able to really enter into the victory of the throne? You haven't accepted your sitting down position in the emergencies of life on earth. That's number one. And number two, you haven't come to Jesus Christ and said, okay, Lord, I'm just seated, that's all. And you see a little lad, and that little lad comes before you. You're all seated now, and you're men. You're all seated. And you see a little lad, a little boy, come up and he says, "Okay, Lord, I brought this." And the Lord said, "Okay, son, you and I are going to do business today. Just you and I." Jesus said, "Give me somebody that'll come unto me as a little child, come unto me, and I'll feed those that are sitting down with the faith of a miracle, and I'll perform a supernatural miracle and meet their emergencies of the hour. I'll do it through a childlike faith to those that are seated, but I need disciples. I need disciples to feed those that are sitting down." That tells me that supposedly there are some that have been seated and now they're able to be disciples. So you've got Jesus, the child, the disciples, and the multitudes sitting down. Now then, 5,000, remember, 5, God's number for grace, 000. Zero for our spirit, zero for our soul, zero for our body. And put 5 before it. You've got grace in 000. Did I say it 3 times? Well, anyway, you've got grace before 000. And when grace begins to operate in 000, that takes you into the thousands. And furthermore, that takes 5 loaves, 2 fishes, and turns them into a miracle to meet the emergency. Now remember, this is the only thing I'm repeating from past revelations of this whole thing. Now watch it. Remember this. 5 and 2 stands for man's body. Man has 5 fingers, 5 toes, 5 senses, 2 eyes, 2 ears, 2 legs, 2 arms. 5 loaves, 2 fishes, that stands for the human body. Now when that little lad came before Jesus and gave what he had to Jesus, it's a picture of us presenting our body, Romans 12:1, 5 fingers, 5 toes, 2 eyes, 2 ears, 2 feet, and 2 arms. We're presenting our body to Jesus Christ in a childlike faith. And Jesus, what did he do? He said, "Thank you, Father." That's all. Just thank you. Thank you, Father. "Jesus, won't you demonstrate a hard way to do it?" No. "Can't you understand? They're sitting down and I'm resting. Now, if they're seated, I certainly am resting." Well, how are you going to move the Father? By agonizing? No, by thanking Him. "But Jesus, wouldn't you consider showing us how to pray through?" No, you just thank Him and it comes down and through. "But Jesus, why don't you confess the sins of the people?" "I don't have to. I bore those." Are you getting that kind of a truth tonight? Some of you must be sluggish. That's loaded. You ought to even give God a hand for that. Listen. Jesus said, "I don't have to confess the sins of the people because I'm going to bear them on the cross. All of them. All I have to do is have a childlike faith presented to me and thank God. And as they thank God, the miracle is ready. And then I've got the disciples here and I want to use the disciples and I'll give the what I get from the Father, which is all I need, to the disciples, and I want them to use it to feed those that are sitting down. If they're standing up, they can't have it." I don't know how many people tonight said, "Pastor, I'm not getting a thing from God lately. I haven't for a year." "But you're on a throne." Yeah, I know all of that. But what I'm trying to tell you, "But you're on a throne." I know that. I know all of that. I've read all the books and heard the messages.
But you've been crucified, buried, resurrected. It's a reality. It's honest. It's true. And you're ascended. You're seated above. And you're seated in heavenly places. I know it. Now, why is it?
No, you're not. You're not seated. You're not sitting. The only way God will ever bless you tonight is if you're sitting in heavenly places with Jesus Christ, and with a childlike faith, presenting to Jesus Christ your body sitting down. Now, their bodies were just sitting down. That's all they were doing. Now, they will get up and do something after they receive the food sitting down. You embarrass God tonight with your restlessness. I don't mean here, but I mean in your life. Your depressions, you don't have to, but your depressions embarrass God. Why?
Because Jesus loved us so much, He removed all reasons and excuses of depressions. By crucifying the entire man, He did away with any possibility of anything left that ever could be depressed. Now, if I'm all dead tonight and all buried tonight, two things have happened to me. Number one, I've been removed from life itself out of correspondence with the devil's world. And number two, I can't see it anymore because I'm buried. So I neither can feel it, I'm not here, and I can't see it because I've been put below in the earth. So I not only tonight am free from seeing it, but I'm free from touching it, and I'm free from even living in it tonight. Because when Jesus Christ did an execution job on me, He did it well. He didn't leave any living corpse tonight to fight yesterday's battles, or to resurrect last year's natural problems or last week's weakness. He crucified it all tonight, and just so there'd be no mistake about it, He said, bury it. Now, there's not a person dead and buried tonight, physically speaking, that knows a thing about what's going on as far as their earthly bodies are concerned, because Psalm 6:5 says the dead know nothing. And the Word of God says in Ecclesiastes 9:5 that the moments that they die, their thoughts perish. That's what ought to happen tonight in relationship to Adam.
Now, if you'll watch it carefully, you'll see what Jesus Christ did. He just said, Father, thank you. It wasn't that difficult.
Jesus believed tonight that the Father was living on a throne. He believed in the throne. He could say, Father, thank you, you're on the throne. I'm all set because I'm abiding on the throne in my heart. And thank you, Father, you're on the throne. My heart's on the throne. Now, multiply the fishes, thank you. But I will not give it, Father, to anyone that isn't sitting down. And I will not give it unless we have a childlike faith, and I do want disciples.
How many think you understand? Okay, now notice it carefully. And Jesus took the loaves, and when He had given thanks, He distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, He said unto His disciples, gather up the fragments that remain. I don't want to lose anything. Jesus Christ says, I don't want nothing. Nothing is to be lost. Watch this next statement. That comes from the throne.
Everything is lost tonight in Adam, but if it comes from the throne, it's not to be lost. When God gives it, and it comes from the throne, He said, I don't want anything to be lost. Nothing is to be lost. Everything that comes from the throne is to remain.
That's why tonight you never have to worry when something appears to leave you that comes from the throne. Can't die anyway. It'll show up in 100 other places. It'll come back because of the throne. Anything that comes with a childlike faith through our position in heavenly places, anything that comes from a thank you spirit from the throne cannot be lost. And therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, "This is the truth that a prophet should come into the world." When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. Now listen to this next statement. Jesus Christ, and I want your undivided attention. Every word will be recorded and every way you listen will be recorded forever. Jesus Christ didn't want to be king without the cross. What is man's problem tonight? They want to reign, rule, govern without a cross. Just the opposite of Jesus. He refused to be a king unless he first could be a humble servant. He refused to take authority unless he submitted to authority. He refused to take governing power over man until he laid his life down and died for man. He didn't want to reign over someone he wasn't willing to die for. And Jesus Christ said, "I'm going to remove myself. I don't want to be king. Because I must die first and go to the cross. And I don't want to reign without death. I don't want to rule without laying down my life. And therefore Jesus said, I must remove myself because they're going to want to make me king. But I refuse to be king unless I first die for the sins of the whole world." How many are thankful for that? How many people would have taken that promotion so rapidly? Men are just waiting for that tonight. Thank God Jesus didn't. And a lot of people in the churches of Jesus Christ want to be a king without a cross. And they want to rule over people without laying down their lives for the people in love. And it doesn't work. Now then, in verse 16, "And when evening was now come, his disciples went down into the sea and entered into a ship, and went over to the sea toward Capernaum, and it was now dark, and Jesus was not yet come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. But he saith unto them, It is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at land whither they went. The day following, the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there save that one whereunto his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone. Howbeit there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread after that the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took the ship, came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus." They were seeking for Jesus. They enjoyed what was going on. To see a man multiply 5 loaves and 2 fishes to feed a hungry multitude was really something. This was truly a prophet. This was exciting. This was thrilling, and this was an adventure. This is what they'd wanted all their life. And here he was, Jesus Christ. They began to seek after him. And in verse 26, Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled." He said, "You seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled." You seek me because you ate the loaves and you were filled. But you didn't seek me because of the miracles. What did he mean? He meant that they really were so cold in their heart that they were not thrilled about his miracles for others, but they only wanted something for their own stomach. And you'd be amazed tonight how many people, before the rapture, are going to leave the body of Jesus Christ much differently than this story because of their revelations and because of the finished work. But I want to show you, innately they're going to leave because of their own selfish greed and their own lustful flesh, spiritually speaking, in the body of Jesus Christ. And they're going to leave. They're going to leave because they want their own lives. Now notice it carefully. Jesus said in verse 27, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you." He said, don't labor for the meat that perisheth. How many people tonight try so hard and do so much laboring for things that perish, and instead of going after Jesus Christ and go after the things of God to be gloriously filled with the Holy Spirit through the throne ministry of the faith rest of Jesus Christ in finished work. And Jesus said, listen, you're seeking me for the wrong purpose, and so you're not going to be able to stand the test. They said unto him, what shall we do, in verse 28, that we might work the works of God? And Jesus said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. He said, the only thing that I want you to do is to believe on him whom is sent. That's the work of God. Believing and trusting with an activity of faith. And this is the work of God. And they said unto him, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believest thee? And what doest thou work? And our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it's written, and he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, Moses gave you not the bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. And in verse 35, I am the bread of life. And Jesus said, okay, Moses never gave you the true bread, but he said, I am the true bread. If you believe on me and eat me, instead of seeking the five loaves, he said, you'll have the true bread. He said, the true bread is to eat me, to eat my life. They still didn't grasp it, and they still didn't comprehend it. And in verse 29, Jesus said, or 39, this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he has given me, I should lose what? How many does Jesus lose tonight? Nothing. How many is lost that comes from the throne? What is ever lost that comes from the throne? Nothing is lost which comes from the throne. How many are lost that the Father gives the Son? Nothing. There's never been a single one. There cannot be tonight. That's an attack against redemption, attack against the blood of the Lamb, an attack against the sovereignty of Jesus Christ. There's not one single indication ever in 31,000 verses in the Word of God. Of all that comes to the Son by the Father,
nothing is lost. That's very clear tonight, isn't it? And for anything that comes through the throne tonight, nothing is lost. Now, if it doesn't come through the throne, then it's lost, all right. But if it comes through the throne, it isn't lost. Now then, the Jews begin to murmur. And then, in verse 47, Jesus said, "He that believeth on me hath everlasting life." He reiterated in 48, "I am the bread of life." But then, in verse 50, he said, "This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof. And if he eats this bread, he doesn't die." Now there it is. Jesus said, "Eat this bread, and you do not die." Now listen carefully. What did he mean? He means a person that eats his life does not enter into spiritual death, does not die. In other words, because they're eating his food, they're eating his word, then with his food and his word and his life and his love, they cannot die. Tell me someone tonight that eats from God's Word, that eats the love of that Word, the grace of that Word, the power of that Word, the life of that Word, that enters into any form of spiritual death daily. They don't do it. If they eat that kind of bread, they do not die any time during a day spiritually. But the problem is tonight, they refuse to eat that bread, and they're too busy eating things that do not come from the throne. They're involved in that that doesn't have its origin in the throne. And furthermore, tonight they're not seated, and they don't have childlike faith. And therefore, they enter into spiritual death throughout the day, and they do die. But they do not eat Jesus Christ. They may eat the letter of Jesus Christ. They may think they're scriptural students. But that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the word of life, the word of love, the word of grace, the word of power, the word of peace, and the word of the throne. And anyone that eats that word does not die. That's God's bread. It's Jesus Christ. It's not something about him. It's Jesus. And notice it. Verse 51. "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give him in my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Jesus said in verse 50, "A man may eat thereof and not die." And in verse 51, he says, "He will live forever." And in verse 52, "The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" And Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. For whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me." Now watch it carefully, and we're closing now. What does it mean tonight to eat his flesh and to drink his blood? He said his meat was to do the will of the Father. It means this tonight: to do the will of the Son, to eat his humility, to eat his wonderful attitude of service, to eat his submission to the Father and his submission to the world, to eat Jesus Christ's attitude, to eat his promises, to eat his kind of humility and his love. It means to eat his word so that we're submitting our will to God. And then secondly, it means all the time we're doing the will of the Son by eating the Son's humility and his obedience and his love, which is laid down for others. At the same time, we're drinking his blood. First, we're doing his will. And secondly, we're drinking his blood with everything we do. So everything we yield to is cleansed by the blood. And the cleansing power of the blood completely takes care of experiential sin as we completely eat His body, eat His will, eat His love, eat His word. And all the time we're eating, the blood is cleansing. So we're eating and obeying and being cleansed all in one sitting with a childlike faith. So that by the glory of God, we have His life, practically speaking, experientially, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We settle for nothing less. We eat His love when we're tested. We eat His peace in a trial. We eat His power in weakness. We eat His grace when we're faced with law and legalism. We eat His mercy when we're faced with anything against it. We begin to eat Jesus Christ all the time. And as we eat, we obey, assimilate, and manifest. And then we're constantly drinking the blood. And as we drink the blood, we're always being cleansed, always being purified, and always complete, and always perfect because of what we're drinking. What we do might cause pride, but what we drink does away with the pride before it enters into what we're doing. Eating the flesh, drinking the blood, makes us at one with Him in the atonement, and by the grace of God, we become absolute recipients and manifestors of the very life which came down from heaven. How many understand it? Now, what if you start eating His flesh and don't drink His blood? You're in trouble. Except a man eat My flesh and drink My blood. It means that everything that I read is accompanied by the blood. Every time I pray, accompanied by the blood. Every time I witness, accompanied by the blood. Every time I sing, accompanied by the blood. Every time I give, accompanied by the blood. Every time I express kindness, accompanied by the blood. Every time I meditate, accompanied by the blood. Hundreds of fulfilling natural laws and religion without the blood. And it's not Jesus Christ they're eating. It's the fulfillment of a law without God's life. But Christianity eats the flesh and drinks the blood. Anything that doesn't have the blood in it, no matter if it has God and good works and religion and the Bible, is not of God. It's not the bread which comes down from heaven. It's not the life of Jesus Christ. If I do anything tonight, even if I eat the flesh of God but don't drink His blood, I'm operating in my flesh without the blood. How many understand it? I must eat His flesh and drink His blood, and then I have His life experientially. We're speaking now, not positional truth. We understand that's once and for all. But experientially, experiencing fellowship and manifesting that life. Listen, why do you have your times of up and down periods? You don't know how to eat the flesh, and you don't know how to drink the blood. How do you? Well, for example, if I feel unkind and unloving, then I say, Lord Jesus, You are My love, and Your blood did it. Glory to God. Praise God. Did You know Jesus is My love? And did You know I'm cleansed and perfect? What am I doing? Eating the flesh and drinking the blood and sitting down with a childlike faith and enjoying heavenly truth experientially on earth. But if I need patience, I say, Lord, I'm bankrupt. I'm a total failure. I receive You as my patience. And I say, glory to God, the blood gave me that privilege and gave me that portion in Leviticus 3. So I eat the peace offering, and I eat the patience, and I drink the blood, and I say, there it is, the patience of God in me, through the blood and through the word. Glory to God, thank You. I'm eating the flesh and drinking the blood. How many understand? Now, what happens? He that eateth My flesh and drinketh My blood dwells in Me, and I in him. And as the living Father has sent Me, I live by the Father. So he that eateth Me, even he shall live by Me. And this is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate. They started to murmur. Many went back. And they walked with Him no more. Now, the mystery of this is this. They saw the miracles. They saw Him feed the 5,000. They saw all of this. But they said goodbye. For the last time,
to Jesus Christ. And in the last days, you must be very careful that you remain eating His flesh and drinking His blood. And when I eat His flesh, what am I doing? I'm eating His body. What is His flesh? His body. What does it mean spiritually? It means to eat His life that He lived on the earth through the life given by the blood, through the power of the Holy Spirit in the Word of God. But what else does it mean? I'm eating His corporate body through the shed blood. I eat the body members and their divine life and their bread and that comes through them from the throne and by the blood. With the blood always accompanying what I eat Jesus Christ's flesh, and His flesh today is His body. And the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life in John 6:63. So we eat the corporate body, the born-again believers, accompanied by the blood, or we begin to digest what they give us from the throne through the blood. And we're eating His flesh because they have His life, and with the many members with their different gifts begin to manifest it, and we start eating from one another, but through His life-given blood from our resting position on the throne. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes?